Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. The show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as MobiStripPress.com. The number to call in is 215-867-8255. That translates to 215-TOP-TALK. So if you want to call in today, we don't have any pre-recorded interviews or anything. I'm setting some more up, and you are going to get really well informed, because some of these interviews are going to be packed with all sorts of information. So if you can't take notes while you're driving, because I'm sure you can't text, and not, texting is the same as writing, right? That's in text too. I don't know if they differentiate, but either way, you can get the podcast. And there's three really good reasons why you want to get the podcast. First off, and the primary reason why you want to download these podcasts, is because this is the only show on air anywhere, bar none, that actually has, it possesses and provides you the constitutional solution to federal government overreach. There is no other show out there that'll do that. Secondly, the content on this show will refer to content in previous shows as well as today's show's contents in future shows as well as context. It would help you to garner this information and stitch it all together by downloading these podcasts. So that's another reason. Third reason is, of course, the information I provide really isn't temporary. It's not just tied to current events. It is tied to the Constitution and the arguments and perspective as we look at the Constitution, to events and so forth, will withstand the test of time unless the Constitution completely changes. And, you know, God help us if that happens, right? And because some of the kids today, they want to get rid of the Constitution. So don't forget, you can download these podcasts at reclaimingtherepublic.org. I also promised, and I'm going to fail. I just feel like I have so much packed this week, and I've got a speaking event on Tuesday, so it's going to be tough. I've got a lot of stuff to get done, but I do need to get this crowdfunding set up. And the reason that I hope you support this effort is Reclaiming the Republic is the only effort, solution-based effort, I should say, that is engaged in a real constitutional solution to stop federal overreach and actually restore all of the usurped powers from the states back to the states. We're working with many organizations, and I want to announce them, but I want to wait until they've officially come on board. But it's going to be happening probably into May, June timeframe for a big organization coming on board. And so hopefully as we start working more and more with groups and organizations, we will be able to restore our constitutional republic, or what I call our hybrid constitutional republic. And moreover, we have so much time left, and I don't believe that other people are perceiving this, but time is finite, and we do not have an unlimited amount of time to get this done. Things are moving rather quickly, and as you can see, the globalist economies and so forth are going to start applying pressures. We're not always going to have the sunny day, you know, everything's great and making America great with a pithy, you know, catchphrase or what have you. We've got work to do, and we have to roll up our sleeves and get this work done. So anyway, you will be able to get all this information from reclaimingtherepublic.org. Let me first start with a noted fact, though. It is, and it has been noted, that there is no sign whatsoever the federal government disbanding or getting rid of any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers. So what does that mean? That means that we need to press forward, like I said, rolling up our sleeves and digging into this. And so I also want to provide you a little insight that I got a new question coming forward, and it's actually a very hot button issue, and it's always been a hot button issue, especially with the left, because the left, and I'll get into it next week, but I will I'll get into it soon in this show, what I'm going to be doing next week. But first, let me give you the information that is what I see is really important regarding reclaimingtherepublic.org, why you want to go there. And as a matter of fact, since I put those bullets up last beginning of this week, it has been getting a lot of hits. And so on the homepage at reclaimingtherepublic.org, right there at the very top, I have the header information, what's really important, things you need to know. And then right underneath that, I have the irrefutable argument for Republic Review. It's all in bullets. It's not a lot of hyperbole and, exploratory, discussion or anything like that. I don't have to go into elucidations. It's boom, 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 boom. And so by all means, you can read those bullets for the irrefutable argument. And if you don't think that this is a good academic argument as to what we have to do, then you poke holes at it. Send me an email, send me a note. Actually, do a posting on Mobius Strip Press page on Facebook, if that's your favorite medium. My email is available on both MobiusStripPress.com and ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. There is a contact page. Anyway, underneath that bullet for the irrefutable argument is the model for Republic Review in bullet format. And you can go through this and you can literally read how the Republic Review will flow from the first state actually coming to the epiphany that, they actually have had all these powers all this time. And I've used this before, and it is the fitting metaphor or symbology when Gandalf goes into Rohan and smacks Rohan on the head and, basically breaks the spell that he was under by Wormtongue, and the clouds in his eyes and the gray hair clears up. And next thing you know, he's actually a pretty young man. I mean, he can do some butt kicking anyway. The states are in the same state. The states actually have all the power they need, and the constitutions give them this power. And so go through this. It'll actually give you the form and the flow of the audit. What's going to happen here? What's going to happen there? As you do, you will become one of the smartest people in America, and people are going to be looking at you going, wow, how did you know that? As Republic Review moves forward, because it will move forward. And at the very bottom of those bullets is a link to the model. So if you see the model in big blue letters, right, that is the link. And if you click on that link, that will actually take you to the model page where you can actually see a line and block chart that will give you the overall view. And then it'll break each section down so you can look at each section in the graphics so that it's a little bit easier for you to see. But there you go. I mean, what more can I give you? And the next set of bullets that I'm working on are the different strategies of how to get a very conservative state to pop or to flip, to call for a Republic Review, how to work through a conservative state that has some struggles, like Idaho. Idaho, I'm going to expect Utah as well. And possibly the Dakotas, but I really doubt the Dakotas. I think Wyoming and the Dakotas are probably the least. That's just because they're the least populated and everybody knows everybody. They kind of understand, and news travels kind of fast in small towns. It's a little faster than big towns. Well, that's just because it's just got more people to go through probably. But anyhow, bottom line, the information is there, and I am at a hard break, so as soon as we come back, we will have more content and information for you so that we can walk you through some important stuff. So we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. This is G.R. Mobley. The reason the progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost all billionaires in the world are funding a vast array of different groups, and their efforts are to undermine our Republican Constitution. If you don't believe me, Google the donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, and many other state rights, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved and supporting programs based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobistrippress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem.
This is G.R. Mobley. Did you know your overall health is connected to your dental health? And as you get older, this becomes more and more important. If you're like me, going to the dentist can be terrifying. So for me to maintain my dental health and overall health, I need a great dentist and staff who are sensitive to my fear, pain, and even my fear of the cost of dental work. This is why it took me almost 2 years to find a great dentist after I moved here. Bottom line, I need a great dentist just to get into the chair, even for a regular cleaning. This is why I personally recommend Dr. Vaughn Tracy as not only a great dentist, but a patriot and a dentist that cares about your comfort and health. You can find him at VonTracyDDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. Then you can agree with me. It's great to have a great dentist.
Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. If you've listened to my weekly show, Reclaiming the Republic, right here on Red State Talk Radio, every weekday evening from 6 to 7 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. It is a hard, fast contract. In accordance to Article 7, the states are the only stakeholders in this contract, and inherent in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight over the contract. This means they can audit the contract against the general government and the unconstitutional powers they are exercising. Any single state can perform this audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what I refer to as Republic Review. Please read my executive summary on reclaimingtherepublic.org to learn the details about Republic Review. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
And so let me finish, though, before we get into some more dialogue, let me finish with the website. So most all of the links on the website, all the links are buttons on the right side of the page. And so if you go to the Take Action page and you click on that button, that will show you where the model is at the very top as well. So I've actually got a link to the model there. And the reason I didn't create another link on the right side of the page is just due to the fact that I, you know, don't want to have 100
different links for each page. So anyway, you have to kind of look for this model. But as you look at the model, it is very clear as to how the thing, how everything flows from the first state down to the states performing Republic review, and how they go through the decision processes and then kick things out to the decommissioning and dissolving and or moving things over to recommended for amendment. Now, if you go through the bullets, I don't recommend any amendments to the Constitution. I believe that all those powers just need to come back to the states. Anyway, on the Take Action page, you can actually get a copy of my slide presentations that I use, and you can go through those, and the PDFs are right there, as well as the second, the strategy, the solution. So it's kind of nice. I've got those there, but more importantly, if you look on the right side of the links again, and you've got the home, Take Action, the third button down is Red State Talk Radio. And this is where all the podcasts are. If you haven't been picking them up, I've got every single podcast that I've actually been able to capture. But more importantly, down below all the podcasts, sometimes I'll put important links and so forth, or important information. And what I have underneath all the podcasts is Plato's Republic, because I told you, let me give you a book. So here's Plato's Republic. It's in PDF. You can download that and put that on your reader and read that at your own, you know, desire and to your own, you know, pleasures and so forth. I also have a PDF of Soros's Partners for the Open Society Institute. And go ahead and read who else is on there. Below that, I even give you another book. You know, I've got Trevor Lawden's links and His Enemy Within, Under Siege, and all of that. But below that, I have The Proofs of the Conspiracy. And this is a book that goes, like, I think back to 1792 or something, late 1790s. And if you read that, this is a very fascinating book, how this John Robinson was making the assertion that they were trying to get rid of religion. It's actually, it's a conspiracy with all to basically get rid of all the religion and governments in Europe and kind of create a single government. And he was warning of that back in the 1700s. And well, let me see, they've got the EU now. So that's kind of like a single government monetary system. They've pretty much gotten rid of all of the religion. I mean, almost all the chapels, as I read and understand it, they're pretty much desolate and empty. Anyway, moving on, I've got the statement of the signators for the Circle of Protection, because I think it's important that you know, see that, because if I'm going to talk about it, I want you to have the facts. So there you go. If you go to my website, reclaimingtherepublic.org, there is quite a bit of information that is available for you to download, read, and start to learn. That way, hopefully, when you start looking at all the marketing, and hopefully I'll get into some marketing today, then you can go into going, you know what, I'm not gonna take this anymore. This is just way over the line. I don't know. It don't seem like we've got a lot of Americans that are in that boat anymore. But anyway, I noticed, and I mentioned it yesterday, that there's supposed to be another anti-gun march, Take Our Liberties march from juvenile delinquents getting out of school and so forth. And so I don't understand why we're not countering this anti-gun march and why we're doing the countering with, I should say, the Second Amendment. There are counters of protecting our rights, March for Our Rights, that are calling out, you know, protecting the Second Amendment. But actually, you know, why are we being myopic? Because they are making us myopic. Shouldn't we be protesting about the decay of our society's morals? Shouldn't that be the protest, that the reason that there are such immoral people that have no problem with hurting young, innocent kids at a school and doing mass shootings, mass killings, is really because we've debased ourselves as a society? Look, I mean, we need more champions like Bill Cosby, and hopefully they don't have a little bit of baggage with them so that they can, you know, don't have to get excoriated. I know Larry Elders speaks up about this as well. I know that Mr. Whitman speaks up about this. I know that there are lots of good black leaders. We need good Hispanic leaders. We need leaders in every demographic to basically start calling out and doing marches and getting out there and saying, look, we've got to take back our morality. We have a morality problem in this country. That is the real narrative instead of, you know, guns kill people. No, immoral people, sick-headed people. Let's get to the real root of this, because guns don't kill people. Just like pencils don't misspell words, right? Or do we want to ban all pencils because that's how misspelled words get misspelled? I mean, it makes that much sense. Anyway, I believe if we go after the moral issue, and I believe if we take the narrative, that would really scare the kids even more, because that would be basically a shot across the bow, letting them know that we're coming after them and we're going to ruin their little run on debauchery in school and this fun, you know, sexualizing yourself, because that's what's really been happening. Schools have become the petri dish of allowing children to become sexually aware, and, you know, we've been sexualizing our kids. And this is a travesty. It's absolutely a travesty. And so it is paramount that we begin setting the narrative instead of responding to these stupid kids. I mean, aren't we smarter than them? These are kids. Why is it that we're allowing them and the progressives to dictate what we're doing as far as our response? Our response should be the crux of the problem. And that is because they've taken prayer out of school. We should be demanding that they put prayer back into the school and some fundamental morals, and go through the curriculum and rip out everything that is defamatory and actually debasing Christianity and those things, because it is weaved throughout their curriculum. I want to also tell you, moving on here, does the Constitution protect freedom? I'm going to get into this because I want to go to a new question, and that new question will start out next week. But here we go. The Bill of Rights was written, and if you read the preamble to the Bill of Rights, it was written by the demand and desires of the states to ensure that the federal government had extra restraints put upon it so that it could not take away the individual privileges and immunities that the people were enjoying, and they wanted very specific nugatory power placed upon the federal government. And within the Constitution, in the First Amendment, is where it talks about religious freedom and so forth. And as a matter of fact, guess what? We're going to pull that language up, and when we look at the First Amendment, it talks, and it actually says, Congress shall make, oh, there's the heartbreak. So I'm going to get into the First Amendment as soon as we get back. I'll give you some more history on this as to what the Constitution really protects and what it doesn't protect, and what the states are supposed to protect and what it doesn't protect. So as soon as we have a few words from our sponsors, we'll be right back. Thank you so much. My show, Reclaiming the Republic, is more than an educational show. My intent is also to work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way, we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is result-oriented and is live across the Republic. Download and share our podcast. Like, follow, and share our page, Mobius Strip Press, and the articles and content posted on our Facebook page. Get informed about groups in the local area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests as to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I'm working with Trevor Lawton, Douglas V. Gibbs, Tom DeWeese, John Hancock, and many other good patriots in setting up rodeos for Republic Review this summer. We're doing this in Wyoming, Utah, South Dakota, Idaho, Kansas, and North Dakota for this election cycle. If you are beginning to understand the power of Republic Review, then we need your help one way or another. More importantly, if you live in these states or know any patriotic leadership, whether that's an elected official, grassroots leader, or political leader, please reach out to me on Facebook or email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know who we can work with in organizing these events. It is our intent to get one and hopefully all of these states to call for Republic Review. If we can get this started, I promise you we will make America great once and for all. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive of businesses who are supporting to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobistrippress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's, and if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Yes, they are, and what I was going to do is I'm going to answer the question, does the Constitution really protect religious freedom? And the technical answer is no. It does protect, through the 14th Amendment, an individual's right, and so I'll go through the First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. So that is an application of government establishing a religion. Is that an individual privilege or immunity? Nope. That is a organizational immunity. So the 14th Amendment does not apply to that. Okay? So what the next one is, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. That's an individual privilege and immunity. So an individual can freely exercise their religious beliefs. However, that doesn't mean that they can be done for public safety and so forth. In other words, you can't just go down and do burnt offerings, you know, in a public place and so forth. But there is the ability for you to express your religious conscience and your religious doctrine and belief pretty freely, unless, now again, this is the Bill of Rights, so that's a restraint on the federal government. The 14th Amendment applies this to the states as well, but that does not apply it to businesses or you know, community areas where a community may want to say, you know what, we're not going to allow this religious, you know, practicing here or what have you. That is not the state. A business can actually say, we don't want any religious memorabilia, any religious doctrine conversations, keep it at home. And they can go for a sterile work environment. That is not a violation of a person's constitutional right, because that is not the government doing that. That is a business, and businesses have the ability to create their own policies and their own rules and regulations in governing their corporate culture. And so just be aware of that corporate culture before you get hired, because if you want to be an activist in, you know, your own working environment, remember, it is an at-will thing, and if they feel you're violating company policies, they'll just let you go. Anyway, to move on, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, we just covered that, or abridging the freedom of speech. So again, government can't do, that is an individual privilege and immunity, just like the free exercising thereof, individual privilege and immunity. So you can, you know, be rest assured that the government cannot pass laws to doing that. But the individual businesses, stores, retailers, what have you, even malls can pass policies and rules that they do not, they can get you, refrain you from saying expletives, you know, bad words or what have you. They can even keep you from wearing certain types of attire that has expressions or words or what have you. That is not the state passing those laws, if that makes sense. These protections only apply to the government. And so, or the right of the people to peaceably assemble. Now, where are they supposed to peaceably assemble? You do not have a right to peacefully assemble on private property, on somebody else's property. So it has to be public property, but it cannot be public property that is set aside for thoroughfares, like in streets and so forth. And so the cities and the states should have established areas for you to assemble. And the whole point of assembling for people to exercise your First Amendment rights, this is all about your expressing your disdain for government. So assemblies like that are protests and so forth. They have to, and states can actually create rules. Cities can create rules to say, if you want to have a march, then you have to register with us and you have to tell us where you're going to be. And it has to be, you know, we have to agree with that to ensure that you're not going to be blocking commerce or blocking, you know, in other people's individual privileges and immunities and their rights and so forth. But this last one here is really important and it's very interesting. And Bob Schultz of We the People Foundation has been a champion for this last one in trying to get this going again, because the federal government and government alone is failing to give people the ability to petition government for redress of grievances. In other words, they're doing something, you don't like it, you're supposed to be able to go and petition them. And that was the whole point of this assembly, was to petition your government to say, you've got to stop this, like what these kids are doing. So taking it out into public is really not the appropriate place. The place is at City Hall, the steps of City Hall. The place is, you know, within, you know, the mall of Washington, D.C. If you think that it's the federal government's responsibility or it is under their jurisdiction, then that's why you would go there. So the state government would probably be the most appropriate for people, because bottom line, if you're looking to try to get things enacted, that it would be either at the state government or the federal government. Anyway, The states do have the power, and they do have the ability to establish religions. The federal government doesn't. It's not an individual privilege or an individual immunity. States actually had established religions up to 1877 out of the 13 original colonies. That was the last recognized original or colony that got rid of its state-sponsored religion, where they were taxing people and giving money to religion to perform certain services, whether that be education, healthcare, or social services. That's what religions did in America. And so states can go back to that. Every state, if they want to, establish a religion or establish several religions and support them just to ensure that the welfare needs and the social needs are being addressed and taken care of. That's exactly what religions do, and they do it really good, folks. That's what made America great, and that's what Alexis de Tocqueville talked about, was having a symbiotic relationship between government and religion, not necessarily one driving the other or the other driving the other. There was a symbiotic relationship where the religion actually, because we had hardly any laws and we had hardly any regulations in controlling behavior, and it was religion that actually controlled behavior back in those days. And at the same time, those states actually banned other religions. So just to be clear, Islam was banned in every single state. And the first mosque wasn't built here until like the 1930s. It was after we started abandoning Christianity and the state started stepping away and were basically soothed by soothsayers or worm tongues into believing that, oh, we've got to be secular. We have to allow every religion. No, we actually don't have to. States don't have to allow. They can ban certain religions. They can't ban an individual's religious expression, but they can ban the open practice of religions, because that's exactly what they were doing for a century past the constitutional signing. And so there you go. It does not protect religious freedom per se. It only protects the individual privileges and immunities because of the 14th Amendment out into the states, and that is it. But there still are some limitations, because corporations and other private entities can constrain your right of speech and expression for mandating a very specific behavior within your corporate culture and so forth. So there you go. I've kind of answered that question without actually having the discussion. But next week, I'll have a whole new question that we can kind of go through. And if you have a bone to pick with how I explained this one, by all means, dial in and we will talk about it. However, let me move into what we're going to talk about next. I'm going to get into religious endorsements. No, election endorsements. So these six states that I am focused on, they have their primaries coming up. And so I want to let you know when I'm actually going to publicly tell you who I think are good constitutional candidates who are committed to their oath of office, and we'll let you know out of each state as they come up on their primaries. So as soon as we get back, I'll roll through those, and I'll roll through the last of our content for the week. So we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much.
This is GR Mobley. Most of you understand the importance of having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategic goal for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail. And if you don't have a long-term strategy, you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain or restore your dental health to what it needs to be. to develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Tracy at VonTracyDDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive of businesses who are supporting to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. The reason the progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost all billionaires in the world are funding a vast array of different groups, and their efforts are to undermine our Republican Constitution. If you don't believe me, Google the donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, and many other state rights, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved and supporting programs based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. Thank you. Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states, in accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution. These conventions require states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. These conventions are unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to get my executive summary on Republic Review and listen to Reclaiming the Republic right here on Red State Talk Radio every weekday evening from 6 to 5 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific. Thank you. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, so the first primary that is coming up, believe it or not, is May 15th. Kind of early, and the filing was just kind of wrapped up, I believe, at the end of May. So it's a very short primary run, and it was really hard for myself and others that I'm working with to really get engaged in the Idaho election, at least the primary run. And bottom line, when you see short primaries like that, then they've definitely set up an election process that will favor the incumbent, those who are already in office. So if I was in Idaho, I would be pushing the state legislators to give you more time to vet through the individual candidates, because a month and a half is just not enough time, or maybe 2 months. That's just not enough time. Anyway, so May 1st, I will be announcing the few, if any, that are committing to the Constitution and Republic Review. I will announce those. The next announcement will be coming on June 12th, and that's Utah. And again, that's another really short primary run. Actually, May 22nd, and that's South Dakota, and May 29th is North Dakota, then June 12th. So those are really short primary runs. The ones that I think are reasonable, because why is it that they spend, you know, all the effort is in the primary. Whoever wins the primary, especially in these red states, really dark blue states, whoever wins the Democratic nomination is the person that's going to move forward in a dark blue state. It's the same thing with a red state. So why is it that they have such a short primary when that's really where the battle is? That's really where you can, you know, choose who is best. And, you know, instead of giving 6 months to the general election, 4 or 5 months, that should be maybe a 2 month, 2.5 month run, and letting the primary be where you really slug it out and go through a good vetting process of going through all of the issues so that people can actually get engaged with who these candidates are. So Idaho, I don't know why they're hiding behind these short runs, but to me, it only favors the incumbent, and I think it does a disservice to the citizens of the states, the Idahoans. And so anyway, but May 1st, we'll move forward, and this year we may not have a lot, and hopefully between the primary and the general election, I may get some candidates, but there's less pressure on the candidate to differentiate themselves on constitutional issues than there will be when they're just having to run against a Democrat. Now, that may be a good factor in a Democratic race or Democratic stronghold to basically try to help differentiate, you know, and bring it out that, hey, this person really doesn't support your Constitution, and that's why they're all in favor of taking your property rights and so forth. But anyway, the last one that I have on here, which will be August 7th, and that is Wyoming. So Wyoming gives us the best flexibility in trying to get the best quality of candidates to go into the general election and ensuring that they're committed to supporting the Constitution, and really more specifically and myopically, I want these candidates to commit to calling for republic review and getting the discussion on the floor of the Senate and on the floor of the representatives so that they start educating their fellow legislators how important this is and what their duties are. Anyway, next week, I think I mentioned this yesterday, but I'll go through it a little bit more. Next week, I'm going to be digging into this Riverton issue in Wyoming and the EPA and the Indian Reservation. I believe there's a couple of tribes on the reservation there. And so I want to get into the constitutionality of Indian reservations and so forth. So if you want to prep for this conversation for next week, go ahead and look through the Constitution as far as any references towards Indians and Indian reservations and, you know, all of that, so that we're ready to get into the meat of what the problem is and what has to happen in dealing with this. That being said, I also want to put it out there, because I'm trying to figure this out. Why is it that the states, just like why is it the King Rohan, you know, had to basically deal with all of, I call it the unconstitutional bullying, but in Rohan, he was just basically under this spell and was losing his kingdom. And pretty much the same kind of metaphor, but if you understand, it's not just that you're losing your powers today. Why is it that states are actually putting up with the bullying from unconstitutional entities? Why is it that they're actually allowing the BLM and the forestry and all of these unconstitutional entities to continue to tell them? And this was a real big issue for 14 Western states, folks. Actually, there's a few more that have a disproportionate amount of federal property that's locked down. And if you Google looking for a map of the United States representing federally owned property. I think Nevada is the largest percentage. It's like 85% of Nevada is federal property. And that is a travesty. In other words, the citizens and that state have never been truly allowed to become the state and allow it to, you know, have its own control of its own destiny. You can't when you have that much controlling interest from the federal government. And show me in the Constitution where when a state actually forms, it does not obtain its all of its property. The only property it cannot obtain from the federal government are those few reasons or those few enumerated things that the federal government can have, such as needful buildings, military ports of entry, those types of things. So the airport, they have to have little offices there. If you've got military bases, okay, that's federal property. If you have post offices and needful buildings, okay, there you go. But that's it. If you look at this this whole thing with the Bundys and this grass range feeding and all that other stuff, that is actually state property that has been stolen from them. And so we'll get into some of that. But this goes down to, as you look at these entities such as the parks, forestry, and so forth, and you look at the Department of Interior is the big culprit here. The Department of Interior has way too much enforcement, gunpowder, military type of enforcement that is going in. So we need state leadership to start dealing with these encroachments and actually calling these out. And that's one of the reasons why we need republic review. Very specifically, if we get a state to stand up, I believe other states will join them because other states will start realizing, one, that they actually have the power, and two, that they can actually do this. So with what little time I have, I can actually do a little citation. And with my typical, before I read a citation here, are the words that we're getting out of these founding documents, are these the words of deceit, or are we being deceived by our progressive professors, education system, lawyers, bureaucrats? Who is it that's lying and deceiving us? Because what Madison said was, were it admitted, however, that the federal government may feel an equal disposition with the state governments to extend its powers beyond the due limits, like we're talking about with forestry and so forth, the latter, or the states, would still have the advantage and means of defeating such encroachments. Come on, states, let's wake up. Let's get some David standing up here. And so let me just kind of let that go, because that's the only citation I really wanted to get into. But I have talked about the marketing and kind of pointing out, you know, who we want to go after, who has been most adversely affected, and the states have definitely been the most affected. I also talked about religious institutions, and I ask you to compare religions of secularism to the doctrines of Christianity, and, you know, like I went through yesterday, where do you learn all of that, and so forth. I also have talked about the education, automobile industries. What about agriculture? Isn't it insidious that the federal government has been dictating and actually subsidizing farmers and not growing things? They have no authority based on the Constitution to have anything to say over what crop is grown or whether you don't grow something. That is supposed to be the individual farmer that is supposed to be able to decide what he grows. And I don't believe you'll find in state constitutions where the state government has taken the control to dictate what their farmers have to grow and what they don't have to grow. Another industry that has been absolutely perverted and affected by government tyranny, federal tyranny, is medicine. Energy, here's another one. Even buildings. Now, I'm not opposed to good building codes and so forth, but I am opposed to the government standards of regulations and actually making you have to buy very specific stuff that comes from very specific manufacturers that is more of a collusion between the manufacturer and government so that they can make more money off of you. And that is insidious. Well, I'm at the end of the show. It's the end of the week. I am G.R. Mobley. We are Reclaiming the Republic, and I will be back here Monday with you. Thank you so much. Have a good weekend.